Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as we come unto the show, Father God, even as you begin to give us the platform to speak that which you call to come through the Spirit. Father God, I declare the word as it comes forth in my mouth, as it will with the light of the fire on my mouth. Put out disdain and blow up and crash every negative glass ceiling in the name of Jesus. I decree the word by the power of the Spirit and by the revelation of the revelatory knowledge of the Holy Spirit. As this word comes forth, let it be a word that be decreed, let it be a word that be declared. that the word come with awesome power in deliverance, and understanding the wisdom and understanding, Father God, that we are known and understand that everything that we speak on tonight be not of ourselves, but through the power of the Most High God. Lord, we decree it, we declare it, we declare it, we decree it, we speak it, we call it to come forth right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this segment. We thank you for this time as we continue to release the revelatory power of the Holy Ghost. And we ask you, Father God, for all those who are gathered on the line with us, Lord, Father God, fill their mind from every discrepancy, every soothsaying spirit, every soothsaying word, as we release the angelical forces through the power of the Spirit that we move, Father God, in this word that you give us on tonight. Father God, we thank you for your presence, for your power, for your glory, for your anointing, for your grace. Even as you rose us up this morning, Father God, as our feet touched the ground, we gave you gladness. We gave you thanks for the mercy and grace that you have bestowed upon our life, to let blood still be running in our veins. Father God, I speak a word not of myself on tonight, but the power of the Most High God. I decree this word, and I declare it. I call it been done. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Well, thank each and every one of you for joining us on tonight at our Power of the Harvest radio station. Here is our internet blog talk radio station. But I want to give you some information before we go forth. For those of you who are coming on the actual station itself, the number you're called in, it's got a number that actually tells you what the display will tell you. If you're going to enter the questions, you're going to have to push the 1. And the 1 we'll bring into the segment of the show. But I want you to hold your question for a while before we get into the show, because we've got some things that we want to bring to you for those who have been dealing with us on this study in the book of Ephesians. For those who are coming to the website, we want you to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. And we want you to go to schedules and services. As you go to schedules and services, you're going to go down to a bright icon that says Power of Harvest radio station. Click on that. That'll bring you to the interface of the radio, the internet, excuse me, phase of the radio station. I loosed it in the name of Jesus, the internet phase of the radio station, and that'll give you the opportunity to chat by line and speak and say what you want to see through teletype that we may read, even as we can send forth the blessings or the praise requests that you may need on tonight. But as I said before, the number to call into the studio for those who are just coming on the line, you might want to jot it down for questions later on, is 347-637-1074. Also on Wednesday night, those of you who have been looking to the YouTube station, going under Pastor Charles Ellis -HNLC, which is Harvest New Life Church, you'll see one of our first segments of our blog talk, not our blog talk, but our internet radio streaming program, where it's our internet streaming talk show with me and my wife. And you'll see my young daughter, Marcella, sitting there with us. But not even further delay, we're going to get into this word. We're going to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say on tonight. You know, the Word of God does decree and declares over in Revelations 2 and 7, say, he who has an ear, let them hear. He gives an individual invitation. He said, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say in the house of God. So we thank you for joining us on tonight. Once again, I am Pastor Charles Ellis. Every Thursday night, we're right here on our 7 o'clock show at Harvest, Powered Harvest Radio Station. But we want to turn your books over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Any mistakes, any glutters that I may speak, just look over, because the enemy is trying to work with the power of what he's doing in this study on tonight. We left off on last Thursday. We was on the latter part of the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we left off, said, let no corrupt communication. In other words, it's Ephesians 4 and 29. And it talks about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but with all goodness, to thus edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now notice what it speaks about. It said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your what mouth, but which is good to the use of edifying. Now that word edifying is to lift up your brother in the time or whatever it may be. In other words, when you as a man of God, a woman of God, you ought to assemble yourself around people who can keep you lifted up. Not the ones who's bickering, biting, cliques, clubs, games, titles, and positions. Not one who think of themselves as being more than the author thing. The Word of God does decree and declare that. He speaks that Word of God, that a man should not think of himself as being more higher than the author thing. But we ought to understand that we are members and men of God. We come to the coalition under the unity, according to Psalms 133. Aaron speaks a word, and he said, how good is it, in the Psalms of David, how good is it for men to dwell together in unity? But when we go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we want to make notes on that. We want to look at the increments of what it's saying, that when we understand that no corrupt communication should proceed, In other words, the word of God does decree and it does declare that your mouth shall flow and out of your belly shall flow rivers of running water. Well, what are you saying, Pastor Ellis? That when you come into the salvations, when you begin to proceed to say the things that God has given you, according to Romans 10:8-9, by the confession of your mouth, that you will come unto salvation. And in the midst of salvation, you've been renewed, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, if any man be in, you've got to be in Christ. He's a new creature. He said, all old things has passed away. Even as the word of God declares, even when you're fighting against stuff, the word of God brings it in Ephesians 1:21. He said, far above all principalities and power and dominion, not only named in this world, but everything that which is to come. I mean, every negative form and every negative thing that ever happened in your life before you got to where you are, God has already had an ultimate plan for you to proceed through it. He speaks about this very clearly. When all of us used to be of the world, he speaks over in Ephesians 2. He said, in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, and when you had quickened and who were dead in your trespasses and sins, when past times you walked according to what the course of the world, according to what the prince of the power, or what the heir of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But he brings forth another powerful segment in the second part of the book of Ephesians, verse 3. He said, among whom you are of all in conversation in times past, in the lust of your flesh, and the fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Now, when we talk about desires of the flesh and of the mind, and where you by nature were children of wrath, even as others. Now, when we take that scripture, we parallel, we bring it back to the book of Ephesians, over there in 3:17, he says that you may dwell in your hearts by faith. They may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, as being men of God, being rooted and grounded in love. But what are you saying, Pastor? I'm trying to get you guys to see something, that when you come unto God, you got to understand that you're rooted and grounded in love of Christ. This is why we brought you back over to the book of Ephesians 4:29. The corrupt communications, as Paul says, evil communication, he said, it corrupts good judgment. In other words, when you're around people who don't have the ability to lift you up but always considering to have spicy language, or they always want to get out and get with something or get on something or do something they had no business doing, and that causes you to fall into that perversion of whatever it may be. The book of Galatians makes it very clear about those things that got evidence in the flesh. When we read over in the book of Galatians chapter 5, you'll do that on your time, starting with Galatians chapter 5:16. I ask you to take your notes on tonight, because I do move pretty swiftly, and I don't want to upherd or slow anyone down, but this is a 45-minute study, and we want you to get all you can get. The reason I bring it to you in this matter, I want you to go back and read it for yourself, or you can go to the archives and begin to listen to this word over and over again as you begin to dissect it, and you see how powerful the Holy Spirit is moving in it, that we may understand that now, as he goes on and says in the 30th verse, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. In other words, when you speak corrupted communication, what do? You grieve the Holy Spirit. When you're around a person who dislikes the ways that you are, what do you grieve them? They don't no longer want to be around you, a person who drinks, a person who smokes, whatever the situation may be. You grieve in the presence of what that person really desires for you have on a spiritual level because of the things that you have been bounded by. You may be bounded by alcohol. You may be bounded by cigarettes. You may be even bounded by drug abuse or lust or prostitution, whatever it may be that you be bounded by, physicalities of the flesh. You got to understand that God has ordained the word according to the Spirit, that you got to be loosed according to his word, according to his power, according to his grace, according to his mercy, that he gave you the spirit to understand that you fall far beyond all principalities, it says in Ephesians 1:21. You don't have the ability to be stuck in any era of your life. You don't have the ability to go through any kind of what we call proclivities in your life, because God has now given you a joint heir according to the kingdom of God. Now you got an inheritance. And that inheritance is said of who God set free, who the Son sets free, he's free indeed. But you got to know the scriptures when you begin to read. As he goes on and says over in Ephesians 4:30, he said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed in the day of what? Redemption. You have been renewed. We said it again over in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You've been transformed. You've been changed. You no longer walk a course according to Ephesians 1. He said, you used to walk according to the course of the world. In
This is why the word that we're given tonight is dealing with how you got to pray in all what types, in all kinds of prayers. It doesn't matter where you are. You ain't got to get in a dark corner to pray. You can be praying when you're going down the street. You can pray for somebody who's trying to get you fired in your job. Am I talking to anybody? Was there anybody up in here tonight? Because the word of God is about to move, and it's going to move like wind. If you ain't catching it, you better write it down, because God is about to speak a word through fire through the mouth of Elijah. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, we're in a season now where we got to pray. The word of God does decree and does declare in the book of Ephesians 6, it says that you got to learn how to put on the helmet of salvation. You got to know how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. But he decrees a word according to what the word of God is, the spear. He says you got to take up the sword of the spirit. Now, when you understand that you're a man and woman of God and you realize through the walk that you're doing in Christ, you got to read the word to be purified. In other words, the word is your filter. You don't ride your car down the street on a two-year-old oil. In other words, you don't keep on eating out of the same pan over and over again without washing it, because it gets filtered. It begins the mildew. It begins the mold. If you let dishes set there in the sink, guess what would have happened? It'll start growing all types of algae and all types of different kind of forms on it that's not created for it to be in there. And if you put that stuff in you, guess what? You're going to get sick. And that's what the word of God is declaring, decreed in your life tonight. The way you used to be and the life you used to live is corrupted now that you come into the Spirit of God. It's corrupted now that you walk according to the course, not of the world, but in the course of the kingdom. That you walk according to the law of the kingdom and not the law of the land. He said you were dead in your trespasses and sins in Ephesians 1. But now he's made you alive. Your spirit has been quickened. That means you've been renewed. When you look at a newborn baby, you got to understand this, and you got to understand and know this. A baby cannot sin. And this is what he's speaking to you about over in the book of 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. When you be renewed by the power of God and through the revelation of the knowledge of God, you gain new access according to Romans 12 and 2. He said your mind has got to be rethinkable. It's got to be transformed. It's got to be changed. You no longer walk according to the course of the world. You don't do the things of the world. You do the things of the kingdom. This is why he gave the word to the man of God over in Luke chapter 11. He said, teach us to pray as John's disciples taught him to pray. I'm probably all over the place, but we ain't off the course. We right here still over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and 29. I'm telling you so much when you begin to read and parallel the scriptures that the power of the Spirit, the power of God, begin to move like whirlwind in you. And God would say, out of your mouth become the bellies of flowing rivers of water. The word of God decrees, declares right now you are saved by his word. You are saved by the words that you utter out of your mouth. It can't be edification if it's just in your mind. You got to speak it. You got to pray in all types of prayers. You got to decree things in all types of areas of your life. You got to shut down the counselor's form. You got to shut down the habits. You got to be set free and clip every bond and every band to try to hold you back. You got to take the word of God and you got to lay axe to every root that's got the ability to hold you back for what God has genetically engineered and designed for you to be. Am I talking to anybody out here tonight? I want to know if you're here tonight. But he goes on and speaks over in the book of Ephesians, and he makes it so revelatory if you look at the increments of it in Ephesians 4 and 31. He said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from what? Your what? Malice. All that's been put away from you. All malice. While we're talking to somebody, the word of God said, you can't continue to say you love me and you got bitter still coming out your mouth. You're talking about people. Your mind is evilly thinking about somebody. In other words, while you pointing your finger at somebody else, telling them how they lived last week, at the last minute, you just sinned in your mind. That's why the word of God said you got to be renewed through the Spirit. You got to live a spirit form life. You know, to walk in the form of the Holy Ghost. Am I speaking to anybody? Do I get a holler? I said that my Holy Ghost today out of anybody tonight. Because I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you can't walk in the kingdom of God and still have this kind of stuff in your life. And you claim that you're a man and woman of God. The Bible said you be lukewarm, I will spew you out. In other words, bitter and sweet, you're supposed to come out of the same fountain, the same thing that you do in your life. Your body has been a woman, a man of God, is given, delivered over to God. And as you deliver your lifestyle over to God, you can't continue to pertain and take on the things of the world. You can't live any kind of way. You can't talk any kind of way. You can't just do anything and still say you're a woman of God, and then you blow it off as Adam did with Eve, and God begin to blow it off on her and say, well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he know your heart, but your heart is the sack of your soul. And you got to understand, you got to clean it up. If you're dealing with a struggle in your life, you got to know how to let it go. If you want to be pleasing with God, if you want to walk according to the course of the word of God does decree and declare. He said it's the small foxes that spoils the vine. And there's those little things, those little proclivities that's in your life that you just look over and you think, oh, that ain't nothing. And God said that's what's manifesting the root. And you got to be able to go to the root of the cause of the problem and knock that bitterness out, because it will blind you spiritually in your walk with Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, as we go forth and we begin to finish up the book of Ephesians, let's look over in the brief Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue to move on with this study. The Bible declares and it decrees over in Ephesians 5, is be ye followers of God. And he said, dear children, now when you think about that, and you look at that very word, he's speaking something so knowledgeable to people who have a struggle in their walk with Christ. In other words, we flip our page, we begin to look at that very closely. He said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We do so by the word, that we walk according to the word. God in that we're keeping the faith, of keeping the commandments. We talked about the commandments on last week. We talked about the 10 phases of the commandments. We talked about the first five phases of the commandments, is with our relationship with what Christ above. In other words, you don't look at the parallel, you look at the vertical. In other words, the first commandments, as you begin to read them over in Deuteronomy, over in Exodus, you begin to find out God is getting your relationship right in the first commandment to the fifth commandment, your relationship right with him. The second five parts of the commandment is dealing with your relationship with mankind. The word of God declares the creed. How do you say you love me and you hate the very one that I created? Well, he goes on and says, walk in love. In other words, you got to be consistent when you look at verse 2. It says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us, offering as a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. What, Pastor, what are you saying about the sweet-smelling aroma? Christ fulfilled all what symbolic blood offerings according to the Levitical system, the Levitical priesthood. And you understand in Hebrews 8, he talks about that he fulfilled those who were coming and offering their sins on the cross. In other words, when we understand the word of God over in the book of Romans, it gives a very strong segment in Romans 10. He said, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that it is a God, and he's not just a God, but he's God over everything, he said, you will be saved. In other words, your sins will be forgiven. God declares and decrees the word according to the book of Romans. And you turn your Bible and you hear me flip, I'm flowing somewhere in here, but I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to teach you, but I want you to hear this word tonight. The word declares and decrees over in the book of Romans chapter 10. He talks about a rebellious people who was a part. Now, we're still in Ephesians 5. We're going to move through this, but we're going to take a time. Now, he talks about a rebellious people over in the book of Romans 10. He says over in Romans 10, verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart's desire. And that's another word right there. God's desire for every man to be saved. I believe he says it's not his will that now one be plucked out. How would you like for something that you created and you birthed into the world, was your son or daughter, for somebody to take them out? Wouldn't you be grieved? Or you would feel bad? You ought to feel bad for the ones who have lost children in the midst of all of this stuff that's going on. But I'm understanding right by the word of God. He said, these men of God who have chosen to be his first chosen, the Israelites, the gospel offering, that he says over in the book of Romans 10. He said, brethren, my hearts and desires and prayers to God, and this was said to God, is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear record, for I bear record that they have what? A zeal for God. I mean, can I stop it right there? The Bible says you got a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof over in the book of 2 Timothy 3. He goes on to say they have a zeal for God, but not according to what? The knowledge. You untamed, you disdain, you got a form of godliness. You read the Bible, but you're still living in a lifestyle that you know you're not supposed to be living in. And you want God to just look over your sins and offer you into the kingdom. The devil is alive. But we're going to get it right tonight. But he goes on and says in verse 3, he said, for being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that's a dangerous place to be in. To know that you're a man or woman of God that's been genetically engineered according to the book of Jeremiah 1 and 5. He said, before I knew you, before I formed you,
I created you. I put a system in you. And that system I put in you is for you to be able to design, to be engineered, to get those out of the world. In other words, God is telling you like this. I've given you a gift, just as I gave the men a gift of talents. Don't you bury your gift. You got something in you. You ain't got to be behind a pulpit. You ain't got to be somebody that's out there letting the limelight. Just do your part, and I'll be pleased with the work that I call for you to do. But one thing I'm going to let you know, do not bury your gift. Do not fall into temptation. Do not let the proclivities in your life overtake you in what God has designed and engineered for you to be. Am I talking to anybody out here tonight? I feel the Holy Ghost moving up in this world tonight. But the Word of God does decree and it does declare. When we go back to the book of Ephesians, he begins to look over in the third chapter. In the fourth, fifth chapter, but the third verse, excuse me. I'm moving kind of quick because I got some time on my end, and I want to give you time, you guys, to answer some questions here. But he says in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 3, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be one name among you as become what? Saints. This stuff is not supposed to be in your life. Can I take you back to verse 1? He said, be ye followers. When you follow the God, you can't walk with the following God with verse 3 in your life. He goes on and said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, where are not convenient, but rather giving what? Thanks. You ought to be glad you living. Most of y'all on the line, and even myself, we ought to be glad that God letting our hearts still beat. Can you count the number of beats you just had in the last minute? No, you can't count that God. For those who don't believe in God, you're still sucking air, ain't you? But you don't see it. That's why the Word decrees and declares over in Hebrews 1, faith is evidence. God has given you a knowledge. You ain't got to read the Bible. You can go outside and look around you and see the nature and the power of God and what he created. And those who are absent-minded to the point that I understand that, you better go find somewhere that you need to go, and you better get with Mr. Get Right or Miss Get Right. Because you got to understand that now the life that you live is not designed for you to have, but it's designed for you to please Christ, that he may give you all the inheritance that you need coming from the kingdom of God. But he says, and he goes on down in the sixth verse, he said, but let no man deceive you with vain words. These preachers, these men of God that's out there giving you all these good things, prophesying things in your life, saying things are going to happen in 5 days, and no good and well, they need to get out there and show you how to get your credit right. They need to show you how to get your life right. They need to show you how to live with your husband. They need to show you how to talk to your kids. If they can't do it, then they just pay the money instead of bringing another big preacher in. They need to bring people that can help you in your financial advisory. If you got a credit score below 500, then if you're doing something financial, don't come to me prophesying something to my life that God's going to do something for me in 5 days, and you ain't showed me how to get right. You ain't showed me the wisdom of what God need to give me to get myself to the point that God may bless me. God will never give you more than what you can handle. If you can't handle 500, how you going to handle 5 million? If that man of God is set before your pulpit is not bringing people in to financially advise you, to show you how to live a married life, to show you how to live and take care of your household, to purchase the homes you need, to get into the first segments you need to start in businesses, to how to raise your children, how to save for their college. I mean, don't go prophesying to me what God going to do, because you got to make the first step to wisdom. The Word of God decrees and it declares that the blessings are laid up in the hands of the wicked. That when you go out there in the streets, am I talking to anybody on this Bible study tonight? There are men who are CEOs. There are men who are doctors. There are men who are car dealerships that God is loaning for you with your gift to go out and speak a word into their life. Invite them out to service. Speak a prophetic word into life. And then when you become friend with them, you get into their heart. And when you get into their heart, you begin to tell them about the ways of God. And I'm telling you, tell them the ways of God. God said he begin to open up their hands to you. And the flowing of the blessings, according to Malachi, will begin to flow out. God will begin to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you weren't able to receive. I believe I'm talking to a crowd tonight. I believe I'm talking to a people that want to hear what the Word of God has to say. Because the Word of God does decree and declare that he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And it's not me speaking, it's the mouthpiece of the power of God that's speaking in me on tonight to get you to understand. You got to get your life right. If you want to get right, you got to get with Mr. Get Right. And that's the kingdom of God himself. It goes on and says over here in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about how in the 8th verse, he said, for you were sometime darkness, but now you're light. And the word walketh in the children of light. Listen what it said. For you were what? Sometime drunken, or you were darkness.
Now, I use the word drunken because I want to look at that scripture. If you give me time here, I want to take it over to the Amplified Version. I want to look at that point in the Amplified Version. Can I do that tonight? Can I hold y'all to that right quick and bring you over to Ephesians 5 in the Amplified Version? I want to look at something here. I want to parallel this thing. The Bible says, with all understanding, get good understanding. Now, he goes over in the 8th verse, in the Amplified Version. He said, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in what? The Lord. There that word go again, back in verse 1. Be ye imitators, but ye therefore be followers, in verse 1. He goes on to say that walk as children of light. Do anybody know what that means? That when you carry the light, the Bible says you don't hide your gift under the tree. That when you so let your light shine, you don't care who's around. You say, God bless you. Can I offer you to come to my church? Can I pray for your family? Can I pray for your mother? Can I pray for your sister? Can I offer them something from the kingdom of God? He said, live the life, or lead the life of those natures born of light. In other words, you got to live a nature of those who are born with the light. In other words, when you're born in the light by your confession, according to Romans 10:8-9, you got to understand now you've been renewed. Now, here comes the challenge. Here comes the challenge through the word of God. Now, when you begin to understand that you give your life fully over to Christ, guess what? The enemy going to try to do his best to pull those vines, those veins that you've been trying to get away from to hold you back. Those who've been struggling with different things in their life, the devil coming, well, you know you want one. You know you want to have that drink, or you want to have that cigarette, or you know you want to go have that little engagement with your little boyfriend, or you want to speak something spicy out of your mouth, and now you're trying to get right. In other words, what am I saying here? As soon as you get up off your knees and pray, the devil say, I got one for you that'll knock the wind clean up out of you. You think you're safe? I'll crack your ribs, and I'll make you utter out the words that you're not supposed to say, and I'll prove to you, and I'll make you disembark your words. I'll make you understand and realize that you're not so safe you thought you were when these pressures begin to hit you. But I heard the word of God talks about the persecution for those who stand in the midst of adversity, and God will elevate you in due season through everything that you're dealing with and everything that you're going through. Am I talking to anybody tonight? The word of God decrees a word according to the kingdom. He said, for you were sometime in darkness, but you are now ye of light. You've been transformed. You've been changed. You've been called to be a man or woman of God. You've been called, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things has passed away. He goes over in the 9th verse. He said, but for the fruits is in the goodness, in the righteousness of truth. When you speak the truth, you understand what Galatians 5:22 says. He talks about the fruit. The first fruit he talks about is love. But let's continue to go for the sake of time to keep moving on. He says in the verse 10, he said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, you don't want anybody feeding you anything. Why are you going to feed the Lord anything? In other words, let's put it like this. If you want something from me and I was your father and I had the money in my pocket to get it for you, or if I was your husband, and now how are you going to treat me any kind of way and then hold your hand out for me to give you some money or go shopping? No, you better find out to do it the best way you can so you learn how to treat me right. In other words, if you go to, say, that ATM machine and you don't know how to put the right code in, how are you going to get something out of it? And the word of God is saying, if you know how to bless me by my word, then I'll put people to bless you in your life. I'll give you the desires of your heart. The Bible declares, decrees the man over in the book of Luke say, he said he knocked on the door. He said he knocked with importunity. He knocked with persistence. But the man who was inside said, look, I'm in the bed. I'm in a bed, and I'm not going to come out and give you anything. But say the man continued to knock. That brother got up and gave that man everything he needed because he didn't want him hounding on his door no more. I'm telling you, man and woman of God, when you pray to God, you ask God, and you pray with importunity, you pray with persistence, God will by no means turn away from you. I believe it says over in that book, the book of Luke chapter 11, as I said, I thought it was 10, but it's 11. It goes 11. He said that you begin to speak about it in chapter 11. He said that even when you ask for God, that he will give you freely all that you need and all that you have, because you got to be persistent in your asking. Some said don't do vain babbling. It's not vain babbling. You just continue to ask God, because God's waiting at the gate to release his angels to bless you in every way that he can. Am I talking to anybody on this line tonight? He goes on and speaks about over there in verse 11. He said, having fellowship. That's important. Now, anybody who ever been married, ever been dated, you just didn't go out there and say, I want to marry you. You know, you didn't want, am I making myself clear? You didn't want to test the water. You wanted to wait on God. Because God said everything is unevenly yoked when I stand through the test of times. So what you had to do, my old man, you say, he said he called it coping. You know, where you could do datum. You get to know their ways. And you got to understand that person's coming from a different background, and you're coming from a different background. But your job is to understand that you got to know how to get along with them. In other words, your job is to never push the red button. That red, don't push the red button. That thing will create World War III and a half. If you know there's something that she don't like, don't push her button. If you know something that he don't like, don't push his button. You want peace in your house? Leave the buttons alone. And you see the power of God begin to work in your life. Am I speaking to anybody? He goes on and says over in verse 12, for it is shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret. Come on, somebody. You go to church and you smile. You got that thing on your face. What they call it, a smile. But behind closed doors, you're doing things and spicy language and doing things and talking about folks you know you don't have to talk about. But then you bring it outside and you bring it to the church. You know, Sister So-and-so told me, you know, the Bible says evil communication. In other words, when you hear people talking like that, you need to shut that thing down. Because I'm telling you, they'll speak that stuff in your ear, into your side of your brain, and that stuff will take 2-3 weeks before you get it about your head. Stop gossiping and talking about folk and begin to pray for them and ask God to lift them up in the midst of what they are, that they be saved or whatever it is. I'm going to slow myself down here for a minute, and I'm going to bring in the co-pastor, who is my host tonight, my beautiful, lovely wife, to speak on this particular subject we're speaking on, dealing with how we need to pray in all types of prayers. And that co-pastor Patty is going to be coming in just a second. You might hear a little rattling in my door in the background, but I'm telling you, it's going to be safe, and you hear everything that she has to say on tonight. Co-pastor Patty, are you there?
Amen. Amen. This has been such a great study because it's so important that we watch ourselves of how we carry ourselves. Ephesians is telling us that, okay, now you're living for the Lord. There's some things that you have to guard. Do you know that living for the Lord is an everyday process, an every moment process, that we have to continue to get closer to the Lord? Because when we get closer to the Lord, we start to get stronger spiritually. And when we come against those kinds of conversations and those kinds of situations that can pull us away, and they will try to pull us away, that we stand strong. The pastor just said something about not participating in gossip. Do you know that you can participate in gossip and not even actually say something because you are taking it in? And that's what we have to guard ourselves against, because as the pastor was saying, it takes, when you hear some things that aren't godly and some things that try to get you away, it takes something to get it up out of you. Have you ever been in a situation where you start to hear some ungodly things and it starts to affect you inside? That's the Holy Spirit saying, no, get away. Separate yourself. Get amongst those believers. Do you know that when you go to church, you should leave differently? You should get you should feed your Holy Spirit. You should feed the Holy Spirit that's within you. And you should, as you go along, you should be maturing in Christ. If you're the same as you were a year ago, there's a problem. You're not getting fed. You're not spiritually getting fed. And when Ephesians is telling us that, look, it's very, very simple, but we make it hard. Get away from those things that get you caught up. You are representations of God. You have the Holy Spirit residing in you. Don't put unclean water into you. And that's what you're doing when you're around those situations. We have to guard ourselves. And the pastor has given us such good spiritual food today, because we have to be reminded, because of this world that we're in. We're in a worldly world. There's always things that are trying to pull us apart by the radio, by people, by television. There's so many different opportunities to get us pulled away. But we have to stand strong. And the only way that we can decipher what is good and bad is if we get into the Word of God, is when we get into prayer. That is because the enemy works subtly and will all kinds of ways try to pull us away. And when you get pulled away, it's kind of like going to the back of the line. Now you have to struggle to try to get in the front. So let's just guard ourselves. Guard ourselves. Stay in the Word. That's what gives you the spiritual energy. Get into hearing the Word of God. Getting to decipher the Word of God like you're doing today. That's so important that we continue to be in the body of Christ, because that's what makes us stronger. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Woman of God, I tell you, that was very good, vital information, as being a woman of God who walks constantly and having to deal in the area of me being a minister in the Word of God and having to watch my back for those who come and try to destroy or try to disdain or try to tear down or blow up that anointing that God has put on either one of your lives. You just don't have to be a pastor. You can be a woman of God who just does the Word. You're going to find somebody out there who don't like you. My point is this, why are you like me? Why you hate me? Because I love the Lord anyway. If you don't like the Lord, then just leave me alone. Don't say nothing about me. Just go and do what you want to do. And before the end of time, we'll find out just when the God begins to do the separator, who's who. You'll find out. You can talk the talk, but it's going to come a time when you got to step before the throne. And that decision has got to be made. You got to realize as he begin to roll the tape on you and he tells you, brother, sister, what did you do with the life I put in you? And what did you do with the gift that I've already engineered in you? What did you do? And you're going to be speechless because your soul is standing before judgment. But I want to beat up a little bit on verse 13 a little bit more. He talks about how, but all things that are reproved. I want you to notice the word and get in your dictionary and look at the word reprove, revamped, redesigned, restructured, re-engineered, recreated. He said, reprove, and I made what manifest by the light. The word manifest, created, as it's been reproved, it comes to full form. It comes to full development. It comes to something pleasing unto the creator who created it. He said, by the light. For whosoever do make manifest the light. But hold on a second, somebody. Let's look at it in an amplified version. When we look at that, I want to take it from the 12, and I want to bring it to the 13 again. He said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. In other words, your stuff that you know what I'm talking about. I ain't got to come out and tell nobody anything, but we get in depth one day to some of our marriage counseling course. We get right down to the nitty-gritty of it, the husband and wife. I'm talking about married folk right now. You know, understand the process. Well, you know, the one thing about us, and I do put that out there, that sometimes we don't research. The Bible says there come a time they won't endure sound doctrine. But you have more people point your finger at you, say, he don't know what he's talking about this. But I'm telling you, this word coming straight from the kingdom. And if you cleaving against this word, I declare that the word of God, let your tongue cleave, that you may hear what the word of God has to say, that one hole be shut and the two holes will be open for you to hear. He said in the 12th verse again in Ephesians 5 and 12, he said, for it is a shame even to speak of those things that which is done in secret, but all things that are reproved, notice that are made manifest by the light. Listen to me, man and woman of God. Whatever's come in the darkness going to have to come to light, which is made to light. For whoever doeth may manifest it is light. For whosoever do make it manifest by light. But here's the kicker. Here's the flip scripture of this thing right here. He says over in the 14th verse, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth. In other words, get up out of your slumber. Get up out of your muck and maw that you in. And arise from the dead. Get your brain. Put some matter between your brain. Shake the stuff off. Get your head together. Know that the life that you got ain't but a breath, a wind away. And before you know it, it's all over. Some people don't even make it that fast. They don't even make it. They don't even get a good life. You know, and you ask the God, why did they take him away? No, God didn't do anything. You know, he didn't do nothing. And we want to be so hurt by what God done. How you going to create? How you going to blame somebody who created you anyway? Am I talking to anybody? You got to understand, in your life and in with Christ, God has designed you to do everything according to his will. He says, wherefore they sayeth, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The 15th verse. See then that ye walk, what? Circumspectly. Listen to that word.
that's where circumspectly and reprove and manifest has some powerful keys into that point. In other words, when we look at the Amplified Version, we go over to the book of Ephesians 5, and the Amplified Version, it says it like this. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from dead, and Christ shall shine. Listen to this. He got it in parentheses. He makes it a monument when he says it. In other words, he put it in increments. He said, make day dawn. That's powerful. Make day dawn. Get up out of your, out of Luna Bar. Get up out of the darkness. Start looking around and seeing what's really going on. Make day dawn. Get away from the sins out of your life. Get away all the secrecy that's going on behind closed doors. When you come before people, you ain't got to be like a clown with a frown that's turned upside down. You know the story. It's a circular song. My friend, hear me what I tell you. Y'all know how it go for those of you on the line. But you got to understand that your life, it can't be a frown. You can't live like a devil in the dark side of your house, in the storms of your wall, and don't think that God don't see you. And you get before the house of God, and you got a smile on your face. In other words, you are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Let me tell you something, what it says in James 1 and 8. He said, now let a double-minded man think he will receive nothing from God because he's lost in all his ways. Because you unfruitful. You keep on dibbling back and forth on the side of the line, and you don't know which side you want to be on. God said, so you're confused anyway. You can't straddle the fence. You can't love God today and then hate God tomorrow. You can't love your husband today when God gave you a covenant and then hate him tomorrow. Am I talking to anybody? You got to walk circumspectly. You got to realize that when God called you into a lively hope, he cared for you. He says over in the Amplified Version, he said, therefore I say, awake, you sleeper. Arise, you dead. And Christ shall make day dawn upon you and give you light. Look what it says in the 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Check out yourself. What is that? 1 Corinthians 11:28. Y'all can look it up. Tell me what it is. Y'all gonna get it. He said, first let a man what? Examine what? Himself. Matter of fact, let's look over there right quick before we go over there. Let's look at this. Let's turn over there to 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians right quick, because I want to make sure everything lining up according to what God has said. 1 Corinthians 11. You hear me flipping through the pages. I want to get there quickly as possible because I'm going to open up the line for questions and we go to our salvational phase of those who want to receive Christ. You may receive him, but you didn't receive him like you should have because you're still living in some secret things in your life. I'm telling you, God fully delivers you. You have no desires to do evil. You have no desire to deal with the proclivities in your life and subverting the things that have been holding you back. Am I talking to anybody? He says over here in 1 Corinthians 11:28, he said, first let a man examine himself. What does it mean? Examine his faith as to what he is objected to or what he is designed or what he is led by. In other words, check your objectives. Check out who you are. So let that man eat of the bread and drink of the cup by first examining himself. He ain't talking about just taking Sunday morning, the first service communion. He's talking about your daily walk. Man should always pray. Pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray at night, pray for the governor, pray for the president, pray for the friends that despitefully leaves you, pray for the one who's sitting down beside you, don't like you in church, pray for them. The Bible said man should always pray, fervent prayer, pregnant prayer, anointed prayer, that your sins be released off of you in the time of judgment. He goes on back to Ephesians 5. When we go back to Ephesians 5, he talks about over there, that 14th verse again. He says, therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Get about your negativity. Get up out of that Galatians, as he said over in Galatians 5. He gives all the attributes of what the man of God, what Jesus did over in the book of the Gospels, when the woman was laying there, was caught in the midst of adultery. In other words, you can't throw no stone at nobody. You got to first examine yourself to see if you are the faith. And then when you check yourself out, maybe God will give you the wisdom and not to help somebody else. But if you keep on pointing your finger at somebody that's in your house all messed up, then you need to make sure you get right first. Smile in your face. Y'all know how it go. All the time. You know, I ain't got to go there, but I'm letting you know. He goes on the 15th verse. I'm going to close it out here. He said, look carefully in the Amplified verse. Let me read it in the regular version first in the 15th verse. In the King James verse, he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
Let me go on to 16 verses. I had the Holy Spirit portion. He said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Does that knock on anybody's door there? The days are moving so quick, we ran back into a weekend. It's like we just come off the weekend. The Bible said he'll rush the time for the sake of believer. In other words, God is snatching his people up out of here because the devil knows in his last chance this is all he's going to get. So he's trying to take many of you with him as he can. Those of you who straddling, those who not walking by the faith, those who not believing in the situation that you are in. Some of you are dealing with all kinds of things in your life, dibbling and dabbling and everything else. But you're still saying, God, maybe this is the last time. Maybe it's the last time. But don't get caught when the kingdom comes, because the Bible says you don't know no time, place, or when the Son of Man is going to show. He says it like this in the Amplified Version. We read over in the 15th verse. He says it like this. He says, look carefully in how you walk. Live what? Purposefully. In other words, you got to live purposefully for the kingdom of God and wisely. In other words, when that word came to me, purposefully, it kind of ringed me a little. Live what? Purposefully. In other words, it's telling you to live with a meek life. Live with wittiness or worthiness. Live with accuracy and intelligence, with wisdom, in other words. Not as unwise. Don't live unwise. Look, weightiness. You got to wait. But as arise from your slumber. In other words, intelligence. In other words, warn the people about the times are evil. Warn them about the destruction that's coming. He goes on and he speaks it very candidly over in the 16th verse. He says, make the very most of the time. Listen to me. Make the very most of the time. Buying up each opportunity. Look, buying up each opportunity. The kingdom of God has got all kind of word for sale. Do anybody need a prayer to bring them out of their habit? Am I talking to somebody? Then the Bible says, come one, come all. You don't need no money over here. It's the prayer that's going to set you free. Am I speaking to anybody here? Or is there anybody up in here? Just buying each, you say, buying with opportunity. You know, it's like the brother who was at the door with importunity. He knocked with importunity. Persistent. Buy up each day with importunity. Serve God and call on God as if he had a hearing aid. Am I talking to somebody? Because the days are evil. You don't know what's going to happen to you when you get up in the morning. Every intersection you go through when you drive your car, you don't know what knucklehead might come out there blind and lame and just want to take you out. But I'm telling you, woman, the man of God, when you begin to pray the hedge around your family, around your house, around your finance, around your husband, around your wife, around your children, the Bible declares, decrees according to Psalms 91, that that's one of the most powerful prophetic prayers of protection in the Bible. Even those who fall short, David makes a strong word over in Psalms 50. He tells you that you need to be washed, you need to be cleansed, you need to be purified. You can't go to the altar and say you love the Lord and you're still struggling. If you're still struggling with something, maybe you need to get yourself around people who don't have corrupted communication. If you're dealing with an issue in your life, man, you need to stay around those people who are dealing with those issues. If I'm a person who drinks, why am I hanging around a drinker? If I'm a person who smokes, why am I hanging around most smokers? I'm trying to quit. If I'm a person who's dibbling and dabbling in weed, or I'm going to say it just like that, weed, or doobies, or dope, or heroin, or crack, why am I hanging around if I'm trying to get away from that? If I'm a person who got a lustful spirit, why am I hanging around people that got a lustful spirit? If I'm talking to anybody, I just got to keep it live right here on Blog Talk, because this is how I am even in the ministry of Harvest New Life Church. We keep it 100, as the young people say. We don't sag to the side, but we sag to the kingdom of God. I'm going to open up the lines here for those who have words that they might want to say or speak. And I'm going to just click on one of these buttons here. I see we got somebody in the audience or in the studio from a 575-312. I'm not going to call out the rest of your number because that's your private business. But I'm going to open up the line on you, and your mic is hot. 575-312. I don't need you to preach to us. I need you to help us out in the lesson. Stay on the course.
Yes, sir. Hello, Pastor and First Lady. My shepherds, my first shepherds that when the
now
Lord brought me out.
Voice. Patty had to let me know last week who you were.
Now I recognize your voice.
Yes,
I didn't catch you last week. God bless you, woman of God. What is it? What's on your heart?
Just like you say who we surround ourselves with. If we're surrounding ourselves with negative people, that's what we're going to get. If we're not constantly in the Word, feeding our spirit, as God says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. If we're not in the Word and surrounding ourselves with the positive people, we're setting ourselves up to fail.
Spoken for the moment of God Himself. It's amazing that it's not hard to understand that how Jesus makes it so plain that evil communication is an old sense that guilty by association. Hang around, and I speak to them all the time in my marriage counseling courses to those who are married. If you want to hang around, you need to hang around some married folks, somebody can hold you accountable. If you're single, you need to hang around single folk. They can be your friends, but until they get married, don't let nobody persuade you in either direction. You need to hang around with women of God that's married, that can help you out how to live your life. If you're a single woman, you're seeking a husband, you need to get self-right before you find anybody. Because I'm telling you, everything that look good ain't good for you. Am I speaking to my God bless you, woman of God. I'm going to go to this next call over here, and it's 334. 423, and it's looking like his mic is lit up. I don't know if he or her, but your mic has been lit up for a while during the segment, and you're on. If you want to have something to say, it's 334-432. You're on the air. Your mic was lit up.
Hey, Pastor Ellis, how you doing? This is Jerry.
Hey, man of God, God bless you. I appreciate you coming by. You man of your word. You are a man
yes,
of your
sir.
Word.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be on the line tonight, you know?
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
God
sir.
Bless you, man. What's on your heart, man? Go ahead.
I want to speak on the subject of I'm glad I'm still in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
I made it.
Amen.
He's still working on me, but I'm here.
Hey, man, he's working on all of us.
Yes, sir.
He's working on all of us. Amazing you said that, man of God. Just because I stand behind the pulpit and preach the word, God never told me I got all A's on my report card. You know,
amen.
I'm still working out. He said, first me and then to them. So we as men of God not allowed to think of ourselves as being more highly. I mean, he speaks about that in Romans 12. You know, we not think of ourselves as being more highly than we ought to think, but through prayer and supplication, all things are made manifest through the kingdom. So, men of God, we all getting worked on. We all got something we got to work out.
Yes, sir. But I thank God I'm getting married May the 12th. And,
amen.
I told her, I said, we're keeping God first, so we're going to make this thing work.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm saying that's it. You know, the Bible said, I think it's, if I'm mistaken, it's an old cliche scripture. It's not old, but it's relevant today. Many ways of revelation comes to us. Seek ye first the kingdom. You know, and when you get him first, and I believe the word God speaks about it, and I think it's if I'm right, Proverbs 3:5. You know, lean not to your own, but acknowledge God in all his ways. He's the director. He shows you the path. So, man of God, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. I pray the word of God over you as you begin to handle that big old rig that you drive out there. I see you whipping that thing. I thought
okay.
You were that day, but, you know, I've got, you told me he was out there in Houston. But God bless you, man of God. We don't want to put too much information out there, but we want to keep you private because we know the enemy is busy. There's quite a few people on the line. But I want to thank you for dropping
yes,
by and being a man of word, a man of integrity. Hopefully I get a chance to see you on next week. You know, if not, we'll get a chance to communicate by line.
Amen, amen. We'll do.
All right, God bless you, man of God. Well, I tell you, I'm going to bring the first lady back on, as always. She's on the line, and she's going to speak out. We got a few more calls on the line that we don't want to, you know, we're getting down to the time we want to go into our salvation call. We ask anybody if they have anything to say concerning the study. I mean, just reach out. I mean, hear what the Word of God has to say. I mean, don't be afraid to speak out because we got about 32 minutes left on the show, and we want to use the time wisely. Like the Word of God said, you know, days are evil. You know, if there's something you're dealing with and something you want to have people to pray for you for, don't be ashamed about it because, you know, I've said a no question is a bad question. You know, so I got First Lady still on the line. If she's going to open back up, she can come on in. She's still got her mic. It's pretty hot. So, First Lady, are you there?
Amen. Amen. We want to continue just to encourage you.
Amen.
We want to continue to encourage you to not only give your life over to Christ, but to continue to educate yourself. Educate yourself in these moments. And these moments and listening to the Word of God and having the Word of God just broken down to, you know, what does this truly mean? Because unless we understand the Word of God, we can't really ingest it. But I also encourage you that later, after we get off the air, that you continue to go over the Scriptures and let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord speak to you on what does He want you to do in this life, because we all have a purpose. And we all need to see what that is. We don't just go through life just to go through, get up, and have it all go over again. We have to make each day purposeful. And that means bringing others into the kingdom that don't know. And do you know there's many people that even are in these churches that don't know and are afraid to ask? This is a perfect opportunity to listen, because there's always things that we can learn. We always can learn the Word of God, even when you read the Scripture over and over again. That's why it's the living Word, because it's a little bit different each time when the Lord is speaking to us through His Word. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to tell your friends. Bring your friends on the line. If maybe they don't even know God and they just, you know, want to see what is it that you're talking about, bring them onto the line. Encourage them. Just know that we love each and every one of you. We want you to continue to mature in Christ. We want you to continue just to have the knowledge in Christ. I learn something new every single day. You know, I will never stop maturing in Christ. I want to know as much as I can, and I'll never know it all. But I want to continue just to see what does God want me to do? And ask yourself that. If you don't know, ask the Lord in prayer. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to represent you? And God will continue to show you through people, through His Word, through prayer. So I just want you to encourage you all. Amen?
Amen. Amen, woman God. That's it. I mean, sometimes, you know, people just frustrate you. You know, sometimes you can just get frustrated. You know, you think to a point that you got to ask God to heal you. You know, you can get frustrated with people in your ministry. You can get frustrated with people around you. But I encourage you to ask God to heal you within. To pray the prayer to God to heal you within. That He'll give you that long relationship you need on how to handle certain situations and events. To not get yourself worked up to a point that you'll cause yourself to stray away from what God has for you to do. It's so important that we know that. That we, you know, I tell a lot of the young pastors and young deacons in my church that comes around my church that's been there before. You know, I tell them, you know, what you got to do, you got to understand you're dealing with people. You know, you're in a sea of people that's got all kinds of thinking about every type of thing. You know, everybody's going to think on the same line that you think on, but you got to have patience. You got to understand in the process of patience, you have got to give you wisdom. If you get wisdom, you learn how to talk to those people, even though sometimes they treat you wrongly, they spitefully use you. You got to have a heart to understand, God, you know, they hurted me. They did me bad. They treated me wrong. And I didn't even know how to talk. I really have something I have to say. And I ask you to just show me, direct me, and guide me on how I need to use the tongue that you gave me to speak the words that I need to speak in this time that I'm in. Am I talking to anybody? Because we got to know that's very important in the body of Christ. But as we get ready to close off the air, we're going to go to our salvation prayer. I want to leave this word with you. It's a prophetic word. The Bible declares, it says over in the book of Hebrews 4:12, he said, for the word, that first part, for the word, he talks about the word of God, it's quick. He says powerful. He says sharper than two-edged sword. Now look what he said, it can pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul, in spirit, and of joint and marrow. And he's a discerner of all thoughts and the intent of the heart. I'm telling you, you got to get that. You got to get that. It's some powerful words that's in that particular verse, that particular message that I just gave you. It's just that 4:12 is a message in itself. But also, as we go to our salvation, a call for those who are want to be called out in salvation, for those who feel like, you know, this ain't working, things are just not right, I just want to get my life right with Christ. I'm just sick and tired of sick and tired, you know. You know, God loves you. Sin separated the people from God. He separated you from God. Jesus died that we may have that right, that we understand when we get bogged down, that we can come to him and ask him. And when you receive Christ, he will acknowledge you. He will no more means reject you. The word of God decrees and declares over Romans 10:8-9. If you confess with your mouth, that as Jesus, confess with your mouth, that Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Sounds like a very simple scripture, but I'm telling you, the confession part, and then you got to understand that it only can, if it's in your mind, it can't be edificacious. If you speak it, you know, in other words, it's in your mouth. You got to claim that Jesus is Lord. And then not only that, you got to believe. I believe the word of God says in Romans 12:1 that I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, the belief is to present your body as a sacrificial offering unto God. You got to get your heart right. And you got to believe that from your heart that God has raised his son from the dead. That's power right there to get you to know that he overcame death. That even the death of the things that are in you, what you're dealing with, what some of the things you have going on in your life, God has gave a prophetic utterance to his son that when you call upon him, you can be delivered from anything that's in your life. This is why you don't take the model prayer for granted. It sounds like it's very simple to other people. When you study this thing and break it down, it's such an anointing on it. It's such a powerful prophetic utterance on it. It's such a revelatory understanding that blow you beyond your conscience, a third heaven understanding. The Bible does declare that when you begin to listen for those who want to go into prayer of salvation, I'm about to do that right now. All you have to do right where you are, just bow your head before God and hear the words that I speak, and I speak in reference to you. It says, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. Open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for serving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen to what I'm saying, what I'm about to tell you. If you were to be true to God's word, now I'm going to tell you this again, you don't direct people to no building. We read it in Mark 13, he says every one of the stones going to fall. And that's the problem in the house with the people of God today. They look at the building as if the popularity source to what it should be. In other words, they go with the more majority. They go where they feel like everything is popping. Kind of like your days when you went out there today. Don't act like you don't know what I'm saying. You was out there in the club scene. You went where everybody thought was so popular because you wanted to be recognized. So much sin that's creeped into the house of God today that we got to be such a light that we go in, that we got to be a transforming change. Now, I know some told me, don't get out of order of the vision of the house, but be able to do things through prayer and supplication, to know that prayer of salvation is at hand to deliver you from everything that's in your life. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against every negative porthole. I come against every negative angelic force in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood. I shatter every glass ceiling in the name of Jesus. I declare, Father God, that you will equalize these men and women, God, above the playing field. I decree by the word of God that it's not now weapon that can prosper when we come against them, Father God. As you begin to renew their mind and renew their spirit, I plead the blood on every disease and every sickness that ever tried to come against them has been man and woman of God. I declare and declare by the word of God, by the power that's been in their heads, according to Psalms 91, that they be cleaned, according to Psalms 51, in their life, Father God, that they are superseded and overflow far beyond they can imagine or even understand. Lord, I decree this word, and I speak it according to the Spirit. If there be a God in heaven, Father God, and they cry out to you, Father God, let them cry to you, Father God, that you may hear them, Father God. Let blind Barnabas and Bailey, Father God, wash them in the pool of Shalom, that they be delivered from whatever it is in their life. Father God, knock down every form of cancer, every form of arthritis, Father God, every form of brain cancer, every form of eye deformity, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I come against every heart disease,
I come against every form of thyroid in the name of Jesus, Father God. I break down every form of ovarian cancer in the name of Jesus. I shut down every internal organ problem in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I call it being done on this night. I come against every unstable and unset mind. I loose it in the name of Jesus. And I declare by the power of God and by the power of the Spirit that they be loosed according to your word, Father God. You have decreed according to Psalm 46 that whoever call upon your name, you are right now, God, to deliver them for whatever it may be, Father God. The earth may rumble, the serpent may shake, Father God. You are right there with them, Father God, through everything they be going through, Father God. I cause every doctor's appointment, Father God, that they go into, that you be right in there with them, Father God, that the news they receive will not be unto death, but it be a word that will transform and change their faith. They get them to understand that you are God. You got the ability to heal them from every situation, every problem, every negative cause that ever try to come against their life. Well, I declare the word and I decree the word by the power of the Spirit that even as we move forth, Lord, with the understanding you have given us, Father God, that we will receive all that you have in store for us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Once again, I'm Pastor Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church. Here in the city of Dallas, Texas. For those of you who want to contact information about me in the ministry, as well as the First Lady and my beautiful little daughter who's in there also, I want you to go to harvestnewlifechurch.com. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to go to your YouTube if you get a chance. We're going to be airing some talk shows, more talk shows that's going to be coming on YouTube here in the future. The area how you get into YouTube is with Pastor Charles Ellis -HNLC. Well, what is the HNLC? Just like I told you, Harvest New Life Church. If there's anything you need to know about me or from me, I'll open my number to you. You can call me, 214-870-2146, or you may email me at Harvest, HARVESTNLC, @gmail.com. Once again, we thank you for joining us on tonight. I hope I didn't take too much of the time. I pray that the revelatory power of God will fall on your household. This word will continue to cleanse you or make you understand and realize that God is on the throne, that no weapon formed against you had the ability to prosper. I leave a word with you as always. It's always a prophetic sound of the kingdom of God and what he's doing in our lives, that he said he loves you. And as he begins to love you, he'll show you all that he has declared for you in your life. I thank you for taking your time with me. I thank you for being a part. Also, the woman of God who at 575, I thank you. You've been such a model in our life. Even before we came together, we never forgot you. We still got your pictures and everything. And you'll always be a monument in our hearts. Not so to her, but everybody. We thank you for joining us on tonight as I leave you with this word of God. As we hear the song go forth and we hear the singing of it.
Right by me, through all of my troubles, when I was gone, he didn't let me.